guys.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Kind of in a good place right now, and a good understanding of where each other sits.
I've always had a good relationship with Tom.
All right, so there it is. Bill plays nice.
So maybe I'm reading into the semantics. I've always had a good relationship with Tom.
Fair read.
Okay, like, I have. I can't speak for him.
Fair.
But I've always had a good... He didn't say we have a good relationship.
I like it.
He said, I've had a good relationship with Tom.
Excellent, Maz.
Right? So, I don't... You know, again, I read that as... The more I hear it, I think, well, that's an interesting way to say it. Like, you know,
how's the question posed, though? Was it, Bill, do you have a good relationship with Tom Brady, or do you guys have a good relationship?
Just let's not go too far with it. Let's just take his opinion.
I just think Belichick is offering it from his perspective, and as if to say, I have no problem with Tom. I kicked his trainer up, but I respect Tom. I like Tom. I've always had a good relationship with Tom from his perspective. The issue is Brady. Brady's the issue.
Okay, good point. Ed in Boston, lead us off this hour. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you? I've been holding on here for a long, long time. I just want to make a few comments about the Patriots. Just want to let you know that 15-year season ticket holder. My first season was the 0-0, Belichick's first season when they were 5-11. And I was there for the snowball game. And I don't have to bring this to everybody's attention because I'm sure people already realize this. This has been the best 17-year run that anybody could ever imagine. 7 consecutive trips to a...
Yes, Ed, we
AFC.
Got it. So, yes, and your point is?
Well, the point is, I think the best thing for this franchise going forward might be for them, this is, might be strange for me to say this, but I think 3 to 5 years of mediocrity, the 7-9, 8-8 record, and try to retool themselves. And, you know, after the 04 Super Bowl, it took them 10 years to win another one. So, wasn't until 14 when they beat the
okay, but
Seattle.
I don't get, so what do you mean? You think it's time to reload? Like sort of reset?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Then they should have traded Brady and kept the young kid.
Exactly right.
So that's not what you're doing here. If you're keeping Tom Brady, if you're trading 10 years of Garoppolo for 3 years of Brady, you better get to Super Bowls in the next 3 years. That's the standard. And Brady missing this stuff in the OTAs and this whole nonsense that's going on down there between everybody, if it prevents them from going to Super Bowls, that's the deal. I don't care if they still go 10-6 or they still go to the playoffs. Of course they're going to do that. If you're keeping 3 years of Brady versus 10 years of Garoppolo, you got to go to Super Bowls. So let's see. Let's see if they do that. How do you feel about Brady right now, Maz?
Oh, gosh, I think Brady, I've lost so much respect for Brady through this whole thing. To me, that's the bottom line, and we can argue over all the details. But going all the way back to, you know, the middle of the season, even beyond that, the stories about him going to Kraft, all of it, I have lost so much respect for Tom Brady as a teammate and as a professional during this stretch. A ton. Now, again, he's still the greatest quarterback of all time. My opinion on that's not going to change. But in terms of what guy he was, in terms of the inner workings of the team and all of that, I've lost a ton of respect.
Rick in Merrimack has a thought for us. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, guys. The talk for many weeks, obviously, has been Brady and Gronk not being in camp. And will they be in sync with all the new guys? How will it hurt the team? And will there be conflict between Belichick when they arrive? At least Belichick was consistent, his consistent self today. In his interview, not showing that anything was a big deal, saying voluntary is voluntary, and as Matt said, Tom and I have always had a good relationship. And, you know, that's basically Belichick throwing off an olive branch. Brady definitely is the issue. But now, assuming Tom and Gronk bury the hatchet with Belichick, realistically or not, and make peace, and they perform, when do we start talking about our defense, which is our real Achilles heel?
Okay, so let's talk about the football things that Bedard brought up. You didn't like one single detail that he had, did you?
Everything that Bedard said about the football team on the field today, I hated them all. And Landon Roberts, a middle linebacker, wrong answer. J.C., what's his name?
I have no idea.
J.C. Jackson was at left corner?
I've purposely forgotten it.
Okay, wrong answer.
So it's so they have an undrafted kid working at Malcolm Butler's spot.
Correct, J.C. Jackson. I just looked him up.
So undrafted free agent, basically... Malcolm Butler, you know,
Bill's done it again.
You know, he's the next Malcolm Butler, as opposed to Jason McCourty or Eric Rowe or any of these other guys that they still have on the roster.
Correct. Yep, some guy we've never heard of. Left tackle, Adrian Waddle. Can I give that one two buzzers for a really wrong answer? Really wrong. Adrian Waddle, left tackle, and Isaiah Wynn, left guard. Used a first-round pick on a left guard. Oh, Sony Michel, according to Bedard. Pedestrian. Another wrong answer. Like, what was good that came out of that? Sony Michel's pedestrian. The guy they took in the first round's a guard. Adrian Waddle's playing left tackle. Landon Roberts is at middle linebacker. And J.C. Jackson's at left corner. 0-5. Like, all five of those, I go, oh, I hate that. I hate them all. I hate all five of them.
So, the one, again, I'm going to hit on is because it serves my agenda, Sony Michel. Everything I've heard about Sony Michel so far has been not good. Has been just at average at best. He's behind drills or hasn't shown the burst that he showed in college or at the combine. So you have to worry about this guy being a combine warrior, one of these guys.
Tired legs.
Oy vey.
Tired legs.
Okay,
you know who has tired legs? Me. I have tired legs.
That's what you get for drafting a running back in the first round. Phil and Rivera. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, I just want to hit on two things real quick. The thing with Brady and Belichick, the one consummate thing that's been throughout these years is they've both been on the same page, as far as they say it anyway. But the way it's working now, I don't know. But as far as the NFL, they're such hypocrites, because if you're really going to put a big emphasis on the standing or sit, whatever they want to do, why ain't you making Pat Tillman in the Hall of Fame? I mean, he's a guy gave up $10 million to go fight for the country. So okay. Now you got, you know.
Feels like a big story for another day. Phil's comment line says, Brady, Bill, would this be a story anywhere else? Are we making too big a deal of it? And I was prepared to answer that question, so I'll just do it here. Probably. Are we making too big a deal of it? Would this be a story anywhere else? Not everywhere else. And let me tell you, the places where it would not be a story, I want no part of. This would not be a story in Jacksonville, and I don't want to live in Jacksonville. This would not be a story. Wherever this would not be a story, I would not want to live, because it would mean that sports are not important to people, which is fine. You know, they're important to me, so I'm telling you if this is from my perspective. But anywhere where these teams matter to you, to us, this would be a story. Anywhere,
yeah, I can't imagine that sports talk in L.A. is going nuts about Aaron Donald not being at OTAs right now, but that makes sense because
no,
it's L.A.
But that's a defensive lineman. This is the all-time greatest coach and the all-time greatest quarterback not being on the same page. If that's not a story, then you live in a place that sucks, or your team is not important to the people in that city, and I want no part of that.
See, so my answer would be, if this were in another place, would it be as big a story? And my answer would be, yes. Yeah. Jimmy Johnson and Troy Aikman? Yep. Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, yep. Terry Bradshaw, Chuck Knoll, yep.
Jimmy Johnson and Dan Marino.
Yep. Absolute. Peyton Manning and John Elway, if you want, or Kubiak, yep. Yep. Manning and Dungy, yep. Tom Coughlin, Eli, yep. Big story everywhere. Absolutely. If they've won five titles, absolutely big story.
Here's Charles in the car. Hi, Charles.
Yes. Jimmy Johnson and Troy.
Charles, you got to turn your radio down. As much as I would like to hear ourselves again deliver that take, we're not going to.
No, when I hear myself once, it's plenty.
John in Framingham. Hi, John.
Hi. I just want to know. I'm 65 years old, been listening to sports for a long time. So it's interesting that I turn to this channel and I get Oprah, Dr. Phil, and Ellen, and tell the one with the hat, Ellen, that he needs to really shut that hat off a little. And by the way, Fool Bedard is another one. I'm just wondering what all these cities, because I've been in the military and I've been all over the world, and I find
ooh,
out
braggart.
All these. Yeah, Alan. Okay.
John, just stop. What do you mean by Alan?
I think he said Ellen. Ellen.
So,
Ellen.
He said it's Oprah, Dr. Phil, and I'm Ellen.
You're Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, yes. I got it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
I was listening to a sports show, but I get Ellen, Oprah, and Dr. Phil.
No, we heard it the first time, stupid.
When I talked. Yeah, I know, Alan. Loosen up that hat.
Go ahead, John.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that what are these other, you know, I've been all over the world. I'm just trying to find out what do all these other sports shows talk about other than what news people talk about.
I don't know. But probably something not half as interesting.
Yeah, I guess not, because, you know, when all you get to say is a team that's won five Super Bowls, 10 division titles or whatever it is, All you get to talk about is where the quarterback has been. Do they like the coach? Does the tight end do this? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I stopped listening to you people really when you thought the Kansas City Chiefs had done the Patriots under 5 years ago. And look where that's gotten you. All your expertise that you get on, all you've got left to say about is what the quarterback does, what he wears at a fling or something in New York or this and that.
The Met Gala.
I don't get where your expertise is all about it, but Bernard or whatever. He better go get a couple of hot dogs somewhere and start thinking about what he's talking. He doesn't even know what he's talking about, that clown. I mean, seriously, all you got to do is to talk about the team that just lost the Super Bowl again. And five Super Bowls, has been in what, several of them, been in 10 titles, games or whatever. All you got to talk about is what the people wear, whose wife is doing what, where they been, who's fighting over this. Come on, give me a break. You guys have no credibility since 5 years ago, whatever, that you thought they were going to lose a Super Bowl, and look where this got you. So everybody keep on listening, you brains. I mean, you all know what you're talking about because it has turned into the Ellen, Oprah, and Dr. Phil show.
Okay, John, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening, as always.
Which one are you?
I don't know. He's Ellen.
All right, well, Ellen with the hat.
No, that part's clear. The other two, if we're going to negotiate, let me know.
He should be Ellen.
I have a preference.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd rather be Oprah.
Why?
More money.
Have you seen what Dr. Phil pulls?
He can't be worth what Oprah's worth.
He's catching up.
No way.
He's catching up, dude.
No way.
He is. Look it up.
I'm going to Google that. Oprah is a cash cow.
No. Well, she started. She had a big lead. But he, look at what the good Dr. Phil pulls on a yearly basis. It's absurd.
I'm okay with being Oprah. I don't take that as an insult whatsoever.
I don't think Jim likes being Ellen.
I think she's an intelligent.
Oh, I don't care. Please. Isn't she with Portia de Rossi? That's a win.
I love Portia de Rossi, too. Yeah,
scissor me timbers.
Of course you do.
She's
overall, though, good call, just 90 seconds too long. Condense that a little bit, and you've got the call of the day.
Okay, I let him go, because it was just, he was on a good phone, which is all I ask. Call on a good landline and have a take, and he had both of those. We were planning to give you a little baseball minute coming up next, which we will still do.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
And it'll be interesting to see if he goes up and in at him, and he hasn't the first two pitches. You know, it changes the way you throw, too. You got to put that out of your mind.
Now, here's the 0-2. Swung on. Here goes the left. It is high. Not as far. It is gone. Mike fires, delivered in, and Stanton hit it out in left field. Giancarlo, no si puesto palo. Boy, I don't think that doesn't make him happy. A Stantonian blast, and the Yankees trail 3-2.
Well, it sure does. There was a little backflip there when he, a little exclamation mark when he knew that was gone. There was no question about that one.
Now, you have to look at the inside. Just think of yourself, that's all. Wouldn't you want to get a hit? If you're fired, wouldn't you like to get him out?
All right, here's a Red Sox minute for you. Sort of Yankee-centric, but I think they've had a couple interesting stories here that, I don't know, just wanted to hit on. So this happened last night. I just found this fascinating. Giancarlo Stanton going deep off of Mike Fiers. Earlier in the game in Detroit, Fiers had hit Stanton in the elbow on a pitch that was up and in, but really not that bad. It's just, you know how Stanton stands, right? Like, his stance is so closed, and his elbow is one of those guys, he's got the elbow pad on, and he's sort of out over the plate. And so it was up and in, but it wasn't anywhere near his head, but it hit him in the elbow. And Stanton almost charged the mound and got really pissed. Why? Because in Milwaukee, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Fiers hit him in the face.
He's the guy that that threw the ball that hit Stanton in the face.
So Stanton, you know, he missed a bunch of time a couple of years ago because he got beaned by a pitch in the face, and it was by Mike Fiers in Milwaukee. And so Fiers hit him again last night, unintentional, but Stanton still got pissed off. Came around the next time and hit a home run off of him, which I just, I don't know, like, I got a lot of respect for these major league hitters who get hit and then just stand in there the next time. Never mind hit in the face and then stand in there. Like, that takes some incredible... You usually don't credit baseball players with being tough and all of that. But
They all do it, not just Stanton. Most every major leaguer, it feels to me like, gets clocked. And then the next at-bat stands right in there and sticks their nose right in there again. Like, I have a lot of respect for those guys.
And look, the guys who get hit in the face, a lot of those guys never really fully get their nerve back. And you know what? I half wonder whether...
You don't think they do? See, I think they do. That's what I'm...
The ones who get hit in the face?
That's what I'm saying. Does Stanton, do you look like he shies away up there?
Well, go ahead.
No, you tell me.
Well, so I would tell you that the guys who get hit like he did in the, you know, he said forearm last night. The ball went up and in. It was like a sailing fastball that you see happen a lot. The next at bat, I think a lot of guys would dig in on that. A guy who takes one in the face the way Stanton did, see, I think that one leaves a mark.
Do you see that when you watch Giancarlo Stanton?
I'm wondering if the whole closed stance thing is in part to combat that.
I don't know how it helps him.
So this struck me last night. He went to the closed stance thing because he was bailing out. And I wonder if maybe part of the reason he had a tendency to bail out is because he got drilled in the face. You know, so I wonder about that. Like, over the years, did he get a little, you know, did he develop a tendency to step in the bucket a little bit and pull out? Because, let's face it, he took a fastball square in the cheekbone.
Maybe. I mean, to me, it's amazing that a guy like that still plays. Or that, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. No question.
You know, way back in the day, what's his face here? How come I just blanked on this?
Tony Conigliaro.
Yeah, Tony C came back. You know, like any of those guys come back, to me is just remarkable. But anyway, after the game, they didn't like it very much. Why don't you start with Stanton? Why don't you start with Stanton, Jimmy Stewart? Here's what Stanton said after the game about being hit.
If it's going to come up and in like that, then yeah, it does. Wasn't trying to hit me in that situation, but still, with the history like it, what happened, don't hit me.
Is there any better revenge than a 456-foot homer?
It was nice. Win would be better, but oh well.
Don't hit me. Like, how's that for a post-game quote? I know you didn't mean to do it, but don't hit me. Like, okay, so every time you face the guy now, he's not supposed to pitch inside?
Well, see, so watching Stanton's post-game, I thought he acted kind of like a dink. And I have compassion for him for taking the fastball in the face. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, okay, how many years ago was it? The guy, if you've seen a replay of it, Fires came off the mound and was saying to him, "I wasn't trying to hit you. I wasn't trying to hit you."
This is last night.
Yeah. 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 And he was saying, you know, I wasn't trying to. And look, I don't know about the history after the fact. Like, did Fires reach out to him? Did Stanton, or did he not? Did Stanton dislike that? Like, I don't know about the communication that existed between them or didn't exist years ago. So maybe there's something there, and clearly there's at least a little bit. But if the expression on Stanton's face while he was answering the questions was almost like, why are you bothering me with this? And that bugged me. So that, and I like Stanton as a player, as you know. Okay? But it bugged me. I thought, you know, he just came off like a dink to me.
Okay, well, you want to hear a dink? Here's Mike Fiers. Now, again, when Stanton hit the home run, he flipped his bat a little bit and stared out at him as he head out of the box. Here's Mike Fiers after the game.
I understand that he's but his the way he handled it today, I think it was kind of childish. I mean, anybody knows, you know, watching this game that, you know, I'm not throwing at him. So, you know, he's going to act how he's going to act, and kind of shows kind of his character, because obviously I wasn't throwing at him. Getting his revenge and, you know, throwing his bat and pointing, I mean, that's not part of this game. I mean, yeah, you're supposed to have fun, but I mean, I think that's kind of childish. But I understand he was happy at that point and he got me back, but I mean, whatever.
Not part of the game. Again, the not part of the game thing.
I know. I hate that too. That drives me crazy. It does. Like, you know, so what? He can't play with emotion. He can't still harbor some sort of ill will about the thing. You know, getting hit in the face is a little different. It's not like getting drilled in the kneecap.
Exactly.
You take a fastball in the face. That one's a little bit different. And so again, I should have done this and I should do it, period. But I'd like to know about the aftermath of that incident a few years ago. Like, I want to know, what did Fiers not reach out? Did that piss Stanton off? Because clearly the two of them are still at odds.
So that gave Stanton 13 home runs on the year. It's a good time to check in on it because we're talking about it. Stanton, 13 home runs on the year, 32 RBI. He's hitting only .248, which sucks. His OPS is .806, which is not good enough. But the .1332 puts him on pace for .3100. He's played 56 games. I don't know how many the Yankees have played. Have the Yankees played 60 yet?
No, I don't think they have, no.
Okay, so I think he's played almost every day, if not every day. So he's basically on pace for 3,100.
He hasn't missed any games.
Okay, so he's that puts him on pace, I think, for 3,100. Or just under 100 on the RBI, over 30 home runs. And, well, it puts him on pace for 35, 95, call it. Something like that. If you're the Yankees, are you still disappointed in Giancarlo Stanton?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Did I think I was going to get more? Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't have made the move, but you're saying, do I expect more than the numbers you just read off? Yes, I do. Giancarlo Stanton, I'm expecting, you know, 40-ish and 110 RBI, maybe 120, somewhere in that area. That's what I would expect out of Giancarlo Stanton. And so he has not been the player he's capable of thus far.
So, again, he has a career OPS of 908. He's 100 points behind that. He's got a career batting average of 267. He's 20 points beyond that. His average home run RBI output, Maz, very good, is 44-109. So he's behind both of those. So he's behind those, but this is what I said about J.D. Martinez. And I'd say the same thing about Giancarlo Stanton. That first year in, like, if you get 3,100, take it and run. And remember, we had this debate about J.D. Martinez. I told you, 3,100, I'd consider that a success for Martinez because I expect these guys to come in here year one and flame out. And Martinez has obviously clearly surpassed Giancarlo Stanton so far this year. J.D. Martinez OPS is 1,023. He's got 19 and 50, 19 home runs, 50 RBI. So, I mean, what's that pacing for? So he's clearly outstripped Giancarlo Stanton. If I were the Yankees or I were a Yankee fan, I would say this is acceptable from Stanton. I'll take it. You know, you should be doing more, but just like I would say 3,100 for Martinez, if that's what you're giving me, and the Yankees are, you know, in first place or a game out of first place and are in the top three in runs, and you're in the middle of the lineup and a factor in that, even though you're disappointing individually, like, all things considered, it's not a disaster there with Stanton. Martinez has clearly been better.
Oh, no. Martinez has been, you know, he's an MVP candidate.
He's the best in the league.
Yeah, he's maybe the best in the game, for crying out loud. It's him, Betts, Trout, like a few guys who've produced the way he has. So you want to tell me in the short term that Martinez has been a win for the Red Sox? He has. Over the first third of the season, and we've now crossed that threshold. So over the first third of the season, Martinez has absolutely been the better player. No two ways about it. That doesn't mean, though, that the Red Sox are going to be better off in 3 years.
Okay, I also want to ask you about this with the Yankees. They are threatening to boycott ESPN personnel all year because they're not getting a scheduling change when coming up here in, is it July? So basically what's happened is the Yankees have had 9 rainouts so far this year. So they've had to have a lot of scheduling changes later on in the year that they're going to smash all these games together. They have to play a bunch of doubleheaders. They've lost a lot of their off days. And this is a big advantage for the Red Sox, by the way, because the Yankees pitching, it's hard to set up when you have all those bullpens and no off days. So this is something that really plays to the Red Sox advantage. But anyway, the Yankees are scheduled to play a makeup doubleheader in Baltimore the day after... playing a Sunday night game at 8 o'clock. Again, there's a July 8 Sunday night baseball telecast that was originally scheduled at 1 that was moved to 8. ESPN moved it to 8 p.m. before there was this rainout that necessitated the Yankees to play a doubleheader the next day in Baltimore. So the Yankees have a doubleheader in Baltimore on Monday. They're scheduled to play the Blue Jays on Sunday night the 8th on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And ESPN, to this point, will not move that game back to the afternoon, allowing the Yankees a better getaway to get to their doubleheader the next day. And the Yankees, in a response, have threatened to boycott ESPN personnel all year. What's your thoughts on that situation?
Okay, one of the most childish, stupidest responses I've ever heard. So again, like, because the business people at ESPN decide that they're going to pick up the game, we're going to take it out on the reporters? I mean, that's just ridiculous. That part of the story is ridiculous. Now, that said, if I were the Yankees, I'd be pissed too. I would. And if this happened to the Red Sox, their fans and their people would be crying so hard that you wouldn't need the rain that's been pouring over this city for the last 2 days.
Can you imagine what Adrian Gonzalez would do with this?
Oh my God, would they be crying, the whole bunch of them. Adrian Gonzalez would threaten a boycott, for crying out loud, of playing in the games, given what his reputation was. You know, Gonzalez was one of the biggest babies going of all time. So look, I think the Yankees got a legit beef here. They went from Sunday day game, Monday night game, to Sunday night game, Monday doubleheader. They get absolutely screwed.
Yeah, they're right to push back, so what the hell can they really do other than do something like this?
Okay, so while the Yankees couldn't prevent ESPN from broadcasting future games, the players and management's boycott would include being uncooperative with ESPN for its broadcasts and any extra features, like the ones commonly seen on SportsCenter. For Sunday Night Baseball, the ESPN booth team receives a special session with the manager during the pregame, as well as in-game access. ESPN often asks for TV interviews with players prior to the game and special access as well. The Yankees would just say no to all of those requests, a source said, if the July 8 game remains on Sunday night. So this doesn't mean, you know, the ESPN New York print guy would still get in, like, they wouldn't
sure
that, but, you know, the in-game interview with Boney,
the broadcast people,
wouldn't go on, or if Jess Manzoza wants to sit with someone pregame,
do a puff piece.
They won't allow, the Yankees won't allow it. That's their response. That doesn't feel that bad to me, by the way. That doesn't feel like that's outrageous. I mean, the Patriots do that on a weekly basis.
Yeah, but again, I just think it's sort of misdirected. That's all. And so I understand it all ends up coming from under the same roof, but it's really two different branches. To me, if you're the Yankees, you got to go to MLB. And you say, no, no, fight on our behalf. This is not what the deal was supposed to be. You sold a national TV broadcast on Sunday night. That's fine. Now stand up for us. Fight for us. We are one of your 30 members here. We can't be doing that. I just think it's ridiculous. You're asking them to play three games in 24 hours?
You're so right. They went from a Sunday afternoon game, and so from Sunday afternoon to Monday night, to Sunday night, to a doubleheader the next day.
Correct. That's what the switch was. When you really lay it out like that. You know, they would have had two games in 36 hours, and now they're going to basically three in 28. I mean, it's absurd.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones, as promised, to Jules in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jules.
Hey, what's happening?
What do you got?
Maz, these guys can't win. They can't win with you. You know, over the offseason, Brady answers a Butler question the non-Patriot way, and you turn around and say, oh, he's totally giving Belichick the finger. Then he goes to best buddies, and he doesn't answer questions because he's there for the kids, but you give him crap for not answering questions. And then after practice today, same thing. And then Brady's engaged in practice. Grunk's engaged in practice. You guys call it like they're faking it, like they haven't been doing this the whole time they're there.
No. On that last thing, it just doesn't prove anything to me.
What doesn't prove what? Prove what? That they're not engaged?
That they're engaged or committed. To me, engaged and committed means you're there for the grind. You're there when the cameras are off. You're there every day grinding it out. That's what engaged and committed means.
And they're there. And they were good today, right?
So wait a minute. Hold on. You're counting like Tom Brady's 21 of 25 in 7-on-7 drills?
I'm saying he's engaged. You guys are saying he's faking it.
I have no idea. To me, him yelling today does not necessarily mean he's engaged. He probably is. I'm not telling you he's engaged or not. I'm telling you him yelling at practice doesn't prove that to me.
Putting on a show.
Jules, do you know what proves it to me? Is making it back to the Super Bowl. That's what proves everything to me. Anything short of that, I'm sorry. You came up short.
All right, well, we'll be close. Maz.
And Jules, you're right about the question thing. Okay, I mean, I admit that, sometimes I want him to talk and sometimes I don't. So I'll tell you what, why don't we meet in the middle on it? And I will tell you that with regard to him showing up today, how about he talks about himself and how he feels rather than just giving us cryptic messages and innuendo? How about that?
Cryptic messages and innuendo. When do you do that?
Well, hold on, I mean... Do you have a problem with Rob Gronkowski being honest today? That he was considering retirement and that he wants a new contract? So which is it?
No, everybody's got a choice in life. He can do it or he can't do it.
No.
Don't jump all over him.
Okay, so you're saying whatever they decide to do is the right call. Well, that's not much of a take. I mean, why am I bother talking to you if whatever he decides is the right thing?
You guys got to say something. I mean, drama-filled day. On Jimmy, Maz. They're not going to pay the man $25 million and Brady an extra $8 million to sit on the bench. Stop it with that.
So we're talking about the franchise tag now. Look, again, I'm not the only one that has said that. I'm just telling you that in an exceptional circumstances, I would do exceptional things. That's all. If you franchise Garoppolo, yes, that creates a problem with Brady, and you'd have to extend him to or you know, give him some sort of raise. I'm just telling you, I would find a way to not let the next quarterback go.
On the talking, not talking, I just thought Rob Gronkowski was a mensch today. He was a man. He floats out all this passive-aggressive crap the entire offseason, and then he shows up, he stands in front of reporters, takes the questions, and says, yep, I was considering retirement. Yep, I wanted to train on my own because I thought it was the right thing to do, and it turned out to be the right decision for me. And yep, I want a new contract. God bless. I think that's pretty straightforward, right? And now you know where the guy's coming from. It's none of these games where Brady just ran by everybody. But he's letting his wife talk for him. And he's putting all this stuff in his documentary. And he'll sit down with Oprah, and he'll float all this stuff on social media. But he won't sit and just answer a few questions from the guys down there for a couple minutes. I think that's a bad look. And if that upsets you, Jules, I'm sorry. Here's Rick in Acton. Hi, Rick on Sox Yankees. Rick!
Oh, Rick in Acton. Oh, it was Paxton.
Okay, whoever you are, go ahead. You're up.
I just, you know, I'm running short on time, but basically the gist of what I wanted to say, you know, I mean, everybody's giving the Sox a hard time, giving Boston Sports a hard time, but, you know, I mean, pretty much, you know, Pats are the balls, Celtics are the balls, and the Sox are the balls, you know?
Okay, another good take. And you're short on time, like I called you. Like I'm bugging you in the middle of something? You called us.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of something.
Joe in Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of something, but the Pats are the balls, the Celtics are the balls.
On the Red Sox. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so I'm going to really disappoint Al Cora. Going back to Houston series, Jackie Bradley got up twice, and I don't know if it was the last game or not. They had 2 men on, no outs. Jackie Bradley's hitting not even 200, and he's not putting the ball on the ground, you know, for Bunt. And maybe I'm a little old school, Ralph. He had Hoke behind him, and then Hoke struck out, but Hoke did get a triple. But I think with the Red Sox lineup now being shorthanded, no Best, and some of the other Devers, and a lot of these guys not hitting the ball, that I think he's going to have to start playing a more small ball.
Okay, Joe, I'll stop you with that, because that's the last part I understood. Does Alex Cora have to start playing some small ball?
I mean, look, there's always a spot where you could pick it. I mean, you know, pick a spot to do it. Well, like, for example, in the first game of the series, the Astros squeezed home a run. If you remember that, they won that game 4-2. I'm all for that. I'm all for that kind of stuff. You think you're in a tight game, you need to squeeze a run home, you squeeze it home. But as a practice in this day and age, the Red Sox aren't the only ones. Nobody does it anymore.
Okay, but even with Betts out, and is he out again tonight? Yeah, he is. He's on the DL, right?
Yeah, he is on 10-day DL now.
What would have worried me is if J.D. Martinez started to miss time with this back injury, but he's in tonight's lineup.
Correct.
So, like, that's sort of scary. Did he have a back in Detroit or Arizona? Does he have a history of that?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, he had a foot problem I know of, but not that I've heard with regard to a back.
Okay. Even without Betts, they have more than enough to score runs.
Sure.
Without playing small ball.
I mean, they scored 9 the other night.
Thank you.
Right? So they scored, you know, they didn't have any issues scoring there. And Moreland's given them a nice boost. You know, Holt had a good game for him the other night. You start getting production out of those guys, you're going to score. Look, I hate to do this, but that guy clearly is from a bygone era.
No.
And this is, I don't
think that was the 18 to 34 demo?
But you know what the problem is with Red Sox fans? They've lost their teeth in more ways than one. Okay? In more ways than one.
That's not a nice thing to say about our caller. He's just waking up from his nap. What do you want?
I might have been talking figuratively with this guy. I'm just saying none of them have any bite anymore. It's like everything is, you know, in the case of why you're on the Red Sox, everything's okay. Like the whole thing. People don't bunt anymore. It doesn't happen. Okay? So listen, again, it's a bygone era. Frankly, I'd like to see them redo the game in a lot of different ways that would eliminate all the stuff that you were used to 30 years ago. Like, because to me, the game needs a major overhaul, but that's a different discussion for another time. I'm not going to get on Cora for not bunting unless the situation screams for it. First and second, nobody out. 10th inning, you bunt. Okay? If the bottom of the order's up. If J.D. Martinez is up, you let him hit. Other than that, nobody bunts anymore.
Long commercial-free segment. Next, Bill Belichick faced the questions, unlike Tommy Brady. How did he do? We'll reset that right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is it good to have your quarterback here?
It's good to have all players here. It's always good to work with all players.
Did everyone report?
Sorry?
Did everyone report?
Yeah, everybody's here.
All right, everybody's here, including Brady and Gronkowski. I thought Gronk was pretty straightforward. Told you how he felt. Sort of gave confirmation to all the stuff he was floating out there during the offseason. Sort of did his job on all fronts. Belichick, again, faced the questions at least. Brady did not. He skipped out. And the more I think of it, Maz, I think you're right. I think the way you're framing it is right. And this is how the whole day felt to me. It's still just on Brady. I mean, Bill clearly can't be happy with Brady missing passing camps. I mean, it's just common sense. You have a passing camp. You want your quarterback to be there for passing camp. It's just duh, of course. But I do feel Bill has accepted it. And I do feel that Bill certainly today did nothing to make it worse. He didn't make Brady play with the twos. He didn't have Brady on a side field working out while the rest of the guys, you know, he didn't do anything like that during practice. And in his media availability, pretty much downplayed the absence. So I think Bill's, you know, sort of in a spot of acceptance and certainly not making it worse and just going forward business as usual. It's Brady is the one that you have questions about, right? Because he's the one who hasn't addressed any of this, and he's continued to put it out there about, I mean, he said it in his own words about, we have to question why we do this and who we're doing it for and how long we want to keep doing it. I mean, he said that himself in his own words in his documentary and never really has addressed that since. His wife said he wants to go and be appreciated and be happy. He's never really addressed that since. He pleads the fifth when Jim Gray asks him if he feels appreciated in New England. He won't answer that question. So it's really on him. But, I mean, I think in terms of Bill, I think Bill made a step towards detente, as I said earlier. I'll just run through some of the comments here. Number two, Jimmy, just go forward. Go ahead.
But what kind of adjustment period do you expect to occur here with two important players from your offense coming back?
Yeah, look, everybody's out here just, again, we're all, myself, all the coaches, all the players, we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to get ready for the season and take every day, every opportunity we can to put ourselves in the best position to have a good training camp, have a good season. So we're all doing the same thing.
I mean, again, him not even...
He wouldn't even go near that question.
Right, so because if he says anything about players having to adjust showing up late, that's then calling out Brady and Gronkowski.
Correct.
Even if he makes it about the team or a generic answer. Yeah, anyone who shows up is going to have to... No. He wouldn't even give you that, which again, I think, is a break to Brady and Gronkowski. He's not even going anywhere near that to call them out for not being here.
I mean, this is like the training camp version of we're on to Cincinnati in a lot of ways. You know, I'm not dwelling on the past. We're just here to get ready for the season now.
But again, I think that's him accepting Brady's absence and not belaboring it or making it worse.
No question.
You know, what I mean?
Yeah, he's not digging in on it. He's letting it go.
Right, at least publicly in this press availability. Skip three, Jimmy, just go to four. Does having Brady back allow you to do more practice?
Does having Tom back now allow you to do more in practice?
Our practices are structured in such a way that we just move forward from the first day of OTAs to the last day, which I include the minicamp and the OTAs. It's part of the same schedule.
Okay, so there I thought we had an opening where, he didn't answer the question, does it allow you to do more practice? And he just answers generically, well, we're just on the same schedule no matter what, and I consider the OTAs an extension of minicamp. It's all one program. Ah, Brady missed the OTAs. So that must be a problem, right, Bill? Play the next one, number five.
Does it concern you at all that he chose to stay away from OTAs this year?
He's done that before.
The whole time?
Yeah, if you go back a few years, there was times when he wasn't. I mean, look, again, it's a voluntary program. So that's what it is. You have to ask him about it.
See, to me, that was the most important answer the whole day. Bill could have... He lets Brady off the hook there. He says, he's missed in the past, when he's never missed the whole thing in the past, and Bill knows it. Even though Bill will be loose with the truth, he couldn't bring himself to say it there. You know, he started to. He said, he's missed in the past. And then I think it was Volan says the whole thing. And Bill says, if you go to some of the years past, he's missed some. And then he has to stop answering because he knows Brady's never missed the whole thing like he did this year. This year was different. But Bill doesn't go there. He stops. And then he says it's voluntary. So that's totally, I think, helping Brady out with that answer. Or if not helping him out, again, it's not. He's not calling out the players for missing the stuff.
Right, he's not putting the screws to him, that's for
exactly.
Sure. Exactly. No, he's letting it go. He's not digging in.
Even when Byron Barnett, my buddy there from Channel, my favorite reporter. It's this guy and the kid from Channel from Providence who goes down there and gets up Belichick shorts every other time he goes down there. These two guys I love. Byron Barnett tried to follow up on this.
Coach, did the absence of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski slow your progress down at all, or how did that affect what you've been trying to do?
Yeah, the OTA system is voluntary.
But does it affect your progress or what you were trying to do at all? Have any effect at all?
It's a voluntary program.
Do you have to catch the players who weren't here off at all?
Well, that's the answer.
Okay, so again, I said this earlier. There might be a piece there where Bill is going so heavy on the voluntary language, because if he says anything that makes it sound like these guys are required or he's disappointed that they're not there, he may run into something with the Players Association, which I think he has in the past. When Malcolm Butler missed some of the OTA stuff and then they punished him for it during the mini camps, I think, I meant to look it up, but wasn't there a, didn't that PA get involved in there a little bit?
Sounds like there was a grievance or something, wasn't there?
I think, or something, I don't know. I think they just, the thing is, you're not allowed to, if a player misses something that's in that voluntary range, you're not allowed to hold it against them when the real stuff starts. Like, that's in the CBA. There can be no punishments, no fines, no monetary things. So maybe that partly answers why Brady wouldn't work with the twos as well. Like, you're not allowed, and I wonder, I think the Patriots had to answer for something with Malcolm Butler when they did that.
No, I have a vague recollection of it, and this is when, like, didn't he miss a flight in, and then he was late for
him?
Yes,
and then they held him in the locker room
for 3 weeks?
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember all of that, and that's a punishment, which you can't do. So look, I mean, I don't doubt that that's an element in it, but based on how he's answered the other questions, to me, the bigger picture for Bill was, I'm going to let this thing die.
Exactly.
I'm going to let it go away. I'm going to let the flames go out. And then whatever we have to handle internally, like we've done in the past, we will handle internally. But publicly, I am not going near it. I am not breathing more life into this thing.
So just one more. Number 7, concern about these guys being out. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Concern about whether Brady and Gronk are all in, fully committed. Number 7, Jim.
With Tom and Rob, are you concerned, or are you confident that they are dedicated to the team and that their head is going to be and their heart's going to be all in it this fall?
Yeah, you'd have to ask them that question. They've always been that way ever since they've been on our team.
Okay, so it's neutral. If anything, he's, again, as I've said, he's a half step towards reconciliation, half step towards detente, or just, he obviously did not make it worse. If anything, he made it better, it being just the palace cue. Right, and that's the palace coup d'etat. It's an inside joke, the palace coup, that he tried to make it a half step better, not a half step worse.
Yeah, because the question wasn't, are they committed? The question was, do you think they're committed? And he wouldn't go anywhere near that. So, which again, I don't blame him for, but I think you can read into that one a little bit in that, you know, if he were fully confident in their commitment, he would have said, listen, those guys are committed. But that said, he did say, you know, they've always been that way.
He didn't make it worse by, you know, totally punting the question. I don't know, we're just trying to get better every day. Like, he didn't do that. He said they've always been committed in the past. So, like, again, he didn't go all in, and he didn't totally, like, you know, but it was just enough for me to realize he's
trying.
He didn't dink around today. He didn't dink around with snaps or reps or where they were on the field. He didn't give anything approaching a side comment to these guys in the press, like he's certainly done in the past. Okay, so I think Bill did his job in terms of that. I thought Gronkowski had a great day in terms of PR, in terms of just answering the questions, all the stuff that he floated in the offseason. He faced those questions. It's Brady. Brady's the one that floated all this crap and still hasn't, and has still left it out there. He still left that out there. Are you fully committed? Because the last time I heard from you, you were questioning that. And you have to ask why we're doing this and who are we doing this for? That's one of the last times I heard from you. And do you feel appreciated down there? You wouldn't answer that question. So that's still floating out there. And he's the one that didn't. So it's still really about him. It is. And I thought Maz had a good point. Jimmy, just really quick, the quick one. Number 3, do you have a good relationship with Tom?
Kind of in a good place right now, a good understanding of where each other sits.
I've always had a good relationship with Tom.
And maybe this is parsing words, but you read into that what?
Well, look, he said, I've always had a good relationship with Tom. He doesn't speak for Tom there. He just says, from my standpoint, I've had a good relationship with him. I don't know what the problems are. I can't speak for him. He's the one that's been out of shape at the moment. The other thing, too, is I listened to it again. It's a little in the past tense, right? I mean, if we're psychoanalyzing the words, you know, I have had, doesn't mean I still have a good relationship with Tom, but I think it's an honest answer. You know, in the past, I've never really had any issue with Tom Brady. And so, to me, look, I just think that Brady has really been at the source of this whole problem. to me, this whole thing has been about the quarterback from the very beginning. From Guerrero, now look, Deflategate is them dumping it on Brady, if we want to go back that far. But in terms of the last 6 to 8 months, maybe even a year, if you want to go back to the draft and the Patriots' unwillingness at that time to trade Garoppolo, fine. But since that point, the source of all the discontent in there is the quarterback.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.